Okay, friends, I'm going to ask you to return to your seats so we can get this underway. Well done. Thank you. Just two quick announcements before I invite Kevin up for a moment. May the 19th, we are having a Testimony Sunday followed by baptisms. We're going to be going down to the river and to the boat launch to be helping people take their next step in obedience, because baptism is a matter of following Jesus and saying yes to what he requires. And so if that is something that you are still thinking about, I would encourage you to consider that and maybe rightly consider the mild amount of peer pressure that goes with other people saying, hey, it's time for me to get baptized. I was in grade 7 when I got baptized, and what prompted me to consider it was more my sister, who was younger than me, saying, I want to get baptized, and she said, Ben, what do you think? And that was what sent me towards it. So there was sort of like a good, that's what I'm calling sort of a somewhat good peer pressure. It has to be your own, and you have to do it because you're saying yes to Jesus. But just because someone else said yes first and gave you the nudge doesn't mean that this cannot be a decision that you own as well. Okay, so please do consider that. If you have not yet said yes to Jesus in the sense of saying, I will follow you and do what you say and go to be baptized, or at least start with having the conversation with some people who can help you discern that some more, please do reach out. We'd love to have those conversations, okay? So it's May the 19th, so please do plan to be here to support those who are going to be baptized and to hear their stories of why they are saying yes to Jesus and following him in this way. Secondly, May the 25th is a Saturday, and we are going to be having a potluck out at the Bender Barn. Okay, so please put that on your calendar, and please think about what you're going to fatten Ben up with. Okay? That just came to me. Okay, I'm going to invite Kevin to come on up. He's got a story to share with us.
And just FYI, there will be moose sausage again. It'll probably be the last one. That'll be the end of it, so if you like moose sausage, come on out for that. Ben, you shared...
Closer?
Okay, sorry. You shared about Revelation 4 and going through that this week, and it closely paralleled what I read this morning in some of the later Psalms, where it just says, everything praises the Lord, the sun, the moon, the stars, the fruit trees, everything praises him. And it was just encouraging for me to hear that scripture coming around and showing us that in different ways. That's not why I'm up here this morning. We've mentioned over the past few weeks, we're having a meeting after this for the whistle discussion. I'd encourage all of you to come out. We're going to be meeting at Ben's office, which is the old CRA building, Canada Revenue, which is kind of that direction, about a couple blocks. I'd encourage you all to come out for part, just to take part in the discussion. If you didn't bring chairs or forgot, we brought some extras. There's a few extras there. I'll stand if need be. But yeah, we just want to encourage everybody to come. If doesn't matter where you're at, if you don't have a clue what this is about, come and learn, come and hear what others have to share. If you have testimony to share, please do that. If you have questions, come and ask the questions. That's what we're meeting about. And we just, it's for people to realize the importance of what this is to our church and to the church in general. And so I wanted to share a little bit about my journey too. And Joel shared with me a couple years ago, I don't know, it was two probably, this vision or whatever he had about these two guys. And he can tell that later about the whistle. And sorry, I keep pulling it down. And so, okay, well, that's interesting. And I just didn't really take it to heart too much and sort of forgot about it. And then, I don't know, it was a month or two or a few months later, Ben said, oh, just wondering, have you thought more about the whistle? It's like, actually, not really. Like, not that I didn't care, it just didn't mean anything to me. And so he kept bringing it up. Every month or so, we'd get together and it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll think about it. It was meaningless to me. I really didn't have any... It was nothing to me. So a while after that, I was home one morning alone. Some of you have heard this story, but I'll share it again. And nobody else was in the house. I was said, spending time with God, and I said, Lord, if there's something you want me to hear from you today, you know, I'm here. I want to be open. I had no agenda. There was nothing going on. I had had a couple of dreams prior to that where God spoke to me quite clearly about some things and in just really symbolic ways. And so I said, hey, if there's more you want to tell me. And so as soon as I said that, I heard a train whistle blow in the background. I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. And I remembered what Joel had shared with me. I thought, okay, well, I heard a whistle. And so then I phoned him, and I went to his work. I wanted to tell him this. And so he was in Lacombe and went into his office. And I was chatting with some of the other guys there that I knew and went into his office and we're chatting a little bit. And then he said, I got to tell you what happened. So I was telling him this. And as soon as I told him I heard the whistle blow, a train whistle blew in Lacombe, which happens all the time, but we couldn't have timed it any better. And so as I thought through that over time, like the whistle itself is really nothing. But for me, it was like God was trying to get my attention, like say, this is something important. You need to pursue this. And as I've thought about it, it's for me as a person, but also I felt as moderator of the church, how am I leading and what am I paying attention to that God's trying to tell me? And so over the next, whatever it was, year and a half, I guess, I've been going through and processing this and seeking's like, okay, what does this mean? Like, what is the importance of this? And you gave Joel this vision, and I believe that you did that for us, like for our church. And so as I've been going through that, and just my experiences through it, everybody's going to have a little bit of a different perspective, but I just would encourage all of you to come out. The last meeting we had, two people shared sort of their experience through it, which was very encouraging to me because it was completely different than what I had expected. And so, I think I'll maybe wrap it up there. I don't want to ramble too long, but please come out, and if you think you've got it, great, come and hear what others have to share. Come and hear testimony. If you don't get it, you have questions, I get that. I know I was there. Come and ask questions. Come and hear and learn. And so I'll pass it back to Ben.
That's great. Thank you so much, Kevin. I think one of the really important things that you just mentioned there, Kevin, was that it didn't immediately look important to you even after you'd heard it a number of times. And just because a whistle blew audibly and confirmed that this was going to be important to God didn't automatically download understanding. And so this has been a journey for a number of us over a significant period of time. So that's why we are sharing this at this time. And then also inviting conversation, because you are also on a journey, but you have been invited into it. And so if you want help in taking your next steps in this journey, and sometimes that helps, as Kevin just said, comes in the form of other people sharing the process that they have been going through in this, please come. 12:30, bring your lunch, zip through McDonald's. Lots of us are going to be eating there as well. So one of the good things about having a conversation over lunch is that it forces you to shut up and listen as you are chewing and other people get the chance to talk. And so that's part of what we are going to do, is it's going to be conversation time. Okay, we are going to share some things as well, but then there'll be opportunity for people to engage. Okay, so please consider coming. Jeff, do you want to come up? Jeff needs no introduction. He's been with us many, many times, and it's always a privilege when he comes. Let me just pray for you, Jeff. Thank you so much for coming. Lord, thank you so much for the ways that you speak through your word and through servants who have sat under your word and sat in prayer with you over your word, praying and engaging with you and interceding on behalf of your people. And I pray that this morning we would see the fruit of that, that it would be you that is glorified, that you would speak to your people through your servant. May you bless the reading of your word, and would you bless the ears that hear? Would you give us ears to hear, that we might recognize the ways in which you are addressing us personally, through your word and through your spirit, as you use your servant. Bless him in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much for coming, brother.
Thank you so much, Pastor Ben. Well, I've been just so blessed already this morning. Thank you so much. I love being here. the fellowship, the worship this morning was just such a blessing. And Kevin and Pastor Ben. It's really great to be in the house of the Lord. And it's so wonderful to open up the Word of God. I just love the Bible. Lately, I just thought, I'm going to go back through a bunch of passages. I do my regular reading each day, but there's passages that I memorized a long time ago. And I noticed the other day I was saying one of them and I couldn't remember part of it. And I thought, that's bad. That I'm getting old or something. I don't know. But I just thought, I'm going to go through a whole bunch of passages that used to be so, you know, that I memorized large passages. I'm going to start going through them and re-memorizing them. And to memorize the Bible, you have to meditate on it. And I can't even tell you how blessed I've been. Because you take each phrase and you're going over it and you're trying to make it part of your life. Like the Bible says in James, you receive the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And so as you begin to go through and memorize the word, you receive it into your life. You allow it to change your life. And this is where this message comes from. Going back through a passage in 2 Peter that changed my life years and years ago, and it changed my life again. That's the great thing about the Bible. It's alive. It's living and it's powerful. And I wanna hope you're going to get... I've been so blessed already. I think I've been blessed enough for everybody, but I'm hoping you get blessed too from the Word of God. And I was going to read verse 3 and 4, but I think I have to read verse 2 just a little, just to kind of get us started. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So we have the divine power and the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So here he says, according as His divine power. When you know, I just want to set up what I want to tell about later, but you got to set it up a little bit. Divine power. Now, you think about that for a moment. The Almighty God. The Bible, remember what the angels said? These angels who are so powerful. The angels cried, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." The angels are very, and certain angels are even more powerful than other angels, but they're, with one word, He's going to destroy the most powerful angel. One little word. It's not going to be a big, it's just, God is almighty. You know, I thought about this a little bit this week. You know when you're driving and you want to pass somebody on the highway and you maybe don't have a very powerful, and you think you're going to pull out and you go, oh, I don't have enough power. There's a car coming. I better pull back in. And you feel that feeling. Or when I was younger and you used to lift weights and stuff and you go to bench press and you go, oh, I definitely don't have enough power. I got to keep working and get stronger. God has never had that feeling ever. You know, Jesus says he was in all points tempted. There were certain areas where he didn't, you know, he made himself the form of a man. But God Almighty has never not had enough power. Never. And this is what he said, according to His divine power. We can even ask God. I thought this was really cool too. Ephesians chapter 1, these prayers of the Bible. These are other things to memorize. Memorize these prayers. They're so good. But in this little prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. So he's praying, I'm praying that your eyes are going to be open to these different things he's going to talk about here. But this is the one thing this is what God, ask God to open your eyes to His exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. God's saying, you have access to this kind of power. And I want your eyes to be open to the power that you have access to. It's my power, he says. And some Christians, we live like, it would be like Bill Gates' daughter waking up in the morning and saying, man, I wonder if I'm going to be able to have lunch and breakfast today. You'd think, that's ridiculous. And man, I wonder if I have enough power to live the Christian life. This is what he says. This is what you should pray, that God will open your eyes to the power. This is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. God wants to help you to walk in newness of life. That's power. And so he says, and then even a couple of chapters over, in chapter 3, another prayer. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even think. That's what God can do. Exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or even think. That's power. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power of God's Spirit, the divine power that's working in you. That is power. I don't care what you struggle with. There's enough power. So he says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's where God really cares about, is your life and your godliness. You have enough power to live a life that is being led and empowered by God, and that godliness that he's asking for us for in our lives. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So as you get to see, just like we read there, that you'd know what is that exceeding greatness of his power, as you begin to experience God, as you begin to walk with God, you begin to understand more and more, wow, God is powerful. And it's through the knowledge of him. Not, well, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and I know another thing about him. He died on a cross, and he rose again the third day. He was a Nazarene, and he grew up in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. He died in Jerusalem. That's not the kind of knowledge God's talking about here. It's the kind of intimate fellowship with God. Getting to know, like Paul, all these things he had in his life, and he says that, but this is what, that I may know him. Don't let the rich man glory in his riches, or the strong man in his strength, or the wise man in his wisdom. Let him glory in this, that he knoweth and understandeth me. That's getting to know God. There was a missionary that was this young man who wanted to be a missionary. He went to this godly missionary, and he said, you know, I think God's calling me to be a missionary. What should I do? What courses should I take? What should I, you know, I want to be prepared. And those are all good things, being prepared, getting the training you need. But this godly man said, here's what you really need. He said, he poked him, not poked him, just pointed at his chest. He says, get to know God. He said, well, yeah, of course I know that part. I know that. Now, what do I need to do to be a missionary? And he looked at him again and he said, get to know God. That's what we all need. We need to get to know God. How do you get to know God? In his word. In his word every day, early. Those that seek me early shall find me. Get into his word and meditate on it. Thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my soul. That's how you get to praying. Learn how to pray. Get alone with God and pray to him. Learn, memorize the prayers of the Bible. Learn how to pray. But also, learn how to listen. What Kevin was and Pastor Ben were sharing here. Learn how to listen. When you hear the voice of God, I've never heard him audibly, but there are so many times when God has spoke to my heart and led me, even through others. But as you begin to know the voice of God in your life, as you spend time alone with him, in intimate fellowship with him, you'll get to know him. But there's another way you'll get to know him too. It says here, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then he says, he just sort of switches gears here, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Again, exceeding great and precious promises. I don't know if that's the right way to say thing in the English, but you know, but you just have to, I can't tell you just in a proper sentence, but exceeding great and precious promises. They are. You want to know another way to get to know God? Take him at his promises. Begin to, I'll just give an example. Years ago, I was memorizing James, and I am a fool. Like, I remember my dad would read Proverbs to us every day after he became a Christian. He didn't know exactly how to teach us stuff, but he said, kids or boys, my sister wasn't born yet, but me and my brothers were fools. And he said, boys, I'm a fool, and I'm pretty sure you are too. And so Proverbs is all about wisdom. And so we're going to read one proverb every day. The Lord gave us 31 proverbs, and we're going to be reading them every day. And he'd just read them to us, and I'd think, yeah, I am a fool. Wow. Like, the proverbs, it's wisdom, is all in there. But the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he receive anything from the Lord. And it says, an unstable man, or a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So there's a promise right there. If you lack wisdom, ask God. And so I remember memorizing this. I was pastoring in a church in northern Saskatchewan where, you know, you move away from there and you really enjoy just going to the wall and turning up the thermostat. But there you cut all the wood for every bit of heat you got. And so I'd bucked up so much wood in that place. And one of the most important thing you had was a chainsaw, because you were using it lots. And you began to realize that this thing is important, that it runs right. And so I'd been using it lots, and something was wrong with it. So I thought, oh, well, I'll take it apart and put it back together again. Well, that was a bad idea. But I took it apart, and I remember stopping, going, oh God, I don't even know what I'm doing right now. And I had it all sitting out in the garage, all the pieces. And I prayed, Lord, I need your wisdom. I forget where everything goes. And I just finished praying. And this guy I'd been praying for, Gord Bayliss is his name. He taught the chainsaw guys how, those guys, they knew how to, like, they we'd buck up. A fun time was going out and bucking up tons of cords of wood. These guys love this kind of thing. And so right when I finished praying, he walks in the garage and says, hey, Jeff, I was just thinking about you. I thought I'd come by and say hello. And he's one of the busiest guys. I forget what time this was, but it was, and I just teared up and I said, Gord, I just prayed for wisdom and you walked through the door. And he wasn't a Christian. And he thought, that's very interesting, he said. And he kind of teared up a little bit too. And so he said, oh, let me show you. He said, I love this kind of thing. So we fixed the chainsaw, it ran perfectly. He says, well, I'm at it. Why don't I teach you how to sharpen this thing? Because that's the key to everything. And before I had this tool that I used, and he just took the tool and threw it away. Go remember where he threw that thing. But no, he taught you how to, I could do that for a living, how to sharpen a chainsaw now, because he just taught you so well. And I just did ask God for wisdom, and he gave me more than I wanted. And that happened three times in that next year with Gord himself. Three times where I was just completely over my head. And I asked God for wisdom, and he showed up. And that after the third time, he gave his life to Christ. He said, this is no coincidence. And so not only was I getting wisdom, but he was getting to know the Lord. And so it was so cool. And I've done that so many times since, even when I was re-memorizing this passage. This is one of them. I had about two or three things a couple weeks ago where I just didn't have wisdom. I didn't know what. For you kids, I would have loved this in school. I'm not going to study. I'm just, the pastor said, just ask for wisdom. And that's not how it works. You do your best. You try. But there's sometimes when wisdom that you need is way up here and the wisdom you have is down here and you've worked and you've tried, you ask God and you'll see miracles. And that's, I experienced God. Gordon experienced God because we believe the promises of God. Many, many other times where God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jan and I have held that before God when there was nothing left to eat. And we cried out to God and we said, God, we believe your promises. And then someone would knock on the door, or you'd come home and there'd be taped to your window money, or where you'd told no one of these things. And this has happened many, many times. I got to know God better. I got to know God the provider. I got to know the almighty, wise God the other way. There are so many ways in the Bible where you trust Him. You take the word and you trust Him. And He's faithful. And you get through trials where you think, I'll never make it through this trial, God. Or a sin that you cannot deal with. And you cry out to God and He helps you. That's how you get to know God. And here it says here, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. That is unbelievable. That is believable, but that is amazing. He's saying here that His divine power will help you as you get to know Him. And as you take these exceeding great and precious promises, you'll be a partaker of the divine nature. So we just talked about the divine power. You can be a partaker of the divine nature, the nature of God. That is amazing when you really think of it. I remember before I got saved too, I met people. And I sort of felt like, it's almost like I met God today. You met them and their humility was almost embarrassing because it was beside my pride. And you knew that this is God. Like the Bible says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. You meet people that have the divine nature, the Spirit of Christ flowing through them, and you're touched by God. But God says here, you can have the divine nature. You can have my power and my nature. And you know, when you really think of that, I thought of this so much. You know, you look at the disciples. These guys, they were selfish. They were like fighting over who was going to be first. They would make bold statements that they couldn't live up with to. Like Peter, there's no doubt that guy wanted to. I'll stand with you, Jesus. As soon as a little girl says to him, weren't you with him? No. And he starts swearing and cursing. That guy, I relate to him. These guys, they were just normal. They had the human nature. When they were pushed, they ran. When they were proud, they wanted to be first. That's human nature. But then all of a sudden, they're filled with the Spirit of God. And now they had the divine nature. Where you looked at Peter and you saw this tremendous boldness and yet a tremendous humility. That's a combination that is not in the human nature. You either have these very powerful, aggressive people that are bold, or you have timid. But when you see them both come together, that's divine. Where you see Paul on a boat, where he's in chains, he's a prisoner, and now he's leading everybody, because they obviously this guy is amazing, and the centurion now is listening, telling the owner of the no, you listen to him. He's in chains, he's a prisoner, but he had power. He had the divine nature, and everyone knew it. Do you ever this beautiful balance? Power, and yet as bold as a lion, yet as meek as a lamb, as wise as a serpent, but as humble as a, or but as gentle as a wise as a serpent and as gentle as a lamb. That's God. Or how about this? I remember, because some people that care a lot about other people, they worry a lot. If you have a problem with worry, you probably have a real care. I remember thinking, I wish I don't even want to care anymore. I don't want to even care, because maybe you get hurt. I remember thinking that if you try to help people, you're going to get hurt. They're going to. I won't use the word I was thinking then, but they're going to get you. If you care so much, you're going to get hurt all the time. before I was saved, so I'm not even going to care. Or, I worry so much, I wish I didn't care so much. Or the guys that don't even care at all, but they don't have a worry problem, but they don't really care about anybody. But when God in his divine nature comes into your life, there can be this tremendous love, and yet you don't worry because you've given it to God. Do you see, we could go on and on and on, but the divine nature is perfect. It's God's nature. And I remember when I first became a Christian, and I was watching these Christians, and they frustrated me. And I'd read the Bible, and I'd get even more frustrated. Wow, I think. So you're just trying to follow the Bible, and it's like you're in a big juggling thing, and you've got 20 balls going, and then if someone even bumps you, you're going to drop them all. And you're worn right out. Oh, how do you do all this stuff? And then the more you read, the more frustrated you get. Oh, great, now there's new stuff. And so you read in the Bible, and if there's anything you want to memorize, is Romans 6, 7, and 8. That is amazing to talk about what we're talking about today, about this divine nature. And so you become a Christian, you say, I love the word, just like he said in Romans 7, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I know it's the Bible. I know, I believe every word of the Bible, even be the front cover because it says Holy Bible. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. And so you say, I want to follow this book. And you try and you go, wow. So that's another area where you can have a balance. Is there some people, they're very godly because they pick certain areas of the Bible that they focus on and they can do those things. And anyone else who can't do them, they look down on them. And there's this tremendous pride. And so, like one lady said, Lord, make me holy, and when you make me holy, make me nice. Lots of people who are quote-unquote holy are mean. And the world says, if that's God, I want nothing to do with it. And we think, oh, look how holy I am. And we're turning people away from God everywhere. Because it's not the divine nature. It's the self-righteous pride. It's the leaven of the Pharisees that the Bible talks about that actually is a stench in the nostrils of God. It's tremendous pride. And so the divine nature is Jesus Christ, who's completely holy and yet completely merciful. The Almighty God, and yet he makes himself the form of a servant. That's the divine nature. Not, oh God, I thank you, I'm not like these people are. So the divine nature is the life of Christ in you. And the divine power, I don't care what habit or addiction or whatever it might be that you're here in this room, the divine power can take care of it. But if you're trying to do it in your own strength, and you're doing like I said, you're just juggling away. And you can start in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit of God with that, just that rest. But then you can move quickly into the flesh again, where you're just trying to do it on your own again. And sometimes you need to be bumped, so you drop all the balls. And you realize, God, I can't do this. I cannot live the way you're asking me to live. That's the key. That poverty of spirit. That you're getting to know God. I can't do this, Lord. That's right. I've been trying to teach you that for a long time now. You can't, but I can. And I still remember Pastor Bill McLeod, and I was so frustrated. I was completely honest with him, the stuff that was going on in my life. And I said, Pastor McLeod, I have such a bad temper and pride. I'm constantly selfish. Told him the different things I'm struggling with, and I'm just so trying to stop this stuff in my life. And he's smiling, and I'm, wow, you seem to have so much peace, and I don't have peace. Like, I'm just running, and he said, yeah, he says, I want to talk to you about this. And he said, look at it like this. It's like a tree. And he said, you are a busy guy. He said, it's like every branch of the tree is like different sins in your life. And he said, you're going around and you see, let's say, the sin of pride. or selfishness, and you're over there and you're right on it. You're serious about this and you're sawing off the branch. And as soon as that branch is almost sawed off, you see another branch of worry. And so you move from that branch, you get that one, and then you go over here and you're sawing away and worry. And then you got over here your thought life, and over here is whatever, on. And he said, you're worn out. I said, am I ever? He said, that's the whole problem. You're on the wrong part of the tree. You got to go to the root of the tree. And that's self. That's the old man. That's the sin. That's the sinful nature. That's the human nature. You've got to go there. And I didn't really know what he was talking. And then he opened up the Bible. And these are the exceeding great and precious promises that by these you can be partakers of the divine nature. And it's in Romans. And you remember Romans 7, just to kind of lead up to this, he talks about even Paul, the Apostle Paul. He says, the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. The things that I want to do, I can't do them. And he goes on and on about this. And he says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. There's this civil war. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what that literally means is, in those days, if you were a murderer, they would chain the person you murdered to you until you went crazy. And if you've had a battle against sin, you know what this is about. You want to live the right way, and yet you realize, I can't. I can fake it. I can pretend, or I can just make the outside look good, but I can't do this in my own strength. And so God says, yes. That's that poverty of spirit, even mourning over that. Then we humble ourselves and see. And here's the truth that we need to know. In Romans chapter 5, he talks about how when we've, whatever amount of sin you've sinned in your life, God's grace is above it. No matter how bad you've sinned. It says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So this is a truth, a very important truth in the Bible. But he says, you can take this truth too far by saying, oh, if when I sin lots, God's grace abounds, then maybe I'll sin lots then. And he said, no. Then he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer than therein? If you feel that way, you probably don't know God. You say, oh, I can keep sinning in the grace of, you don't know God. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I want you to take time and look at this yourself. This is the only way you can really, but I'm going to. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, now this is the verse, likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's saying here, the same way, the picture, that's why baptism, when you guys are having your baptism here soon, it's such a beautiful, beautiful picture. It's not only that you're trusting fully and only in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all you're trusting in for your salvation. You're saying publicly, I'm trusting fully and only in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's also a picture of you saying publicly, I want to die to the old man by faith. And by faith, I want to receive the same power that raised Christ from the dead. I want to walk in newness of life. So I want to put off the old man by faith. I can't fix the old man. Charles Spurgeon tells a story about this guy that walked into a gun shop way back in the day, and he said, I got this gun and I want you to fix it. And he said, okay, what's wrong with it? Well, he said, the barrel's a bit bent and the stock, it's broken, and the lock, it doesn't even work. And the gun store guy says, well, he said, sounds to me like you need a new gun. He said, your whole lock, stock, and barrel is ruined. And he said, you need a brand new gun. And, you know, that's where we get the saying lock, stock, and barrel. But he said, you can't fix this old gun. You just chuck it out and get a new gun. It's the same thing. You can't fix the old man. That's what religion is. And it's very difficult. It's a very, I don't know how to put it. You can't do it. It's a very frustrating thing. And that's what religion is just trying to fix up the old man. You can't do it. The Bible says very clearly, you need to, by faith, die to the old man. Put it to death by faith. And then by faith, allow Christ to fill you and live in the new man. It says right here, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Stop striving and abide in Christ. Each day, waking up saying, Lord, I lay down my life by faith, and I put off the old man, and by faith I put on the new man, Christ, that I would receive the divine nature, because I can't fix mine. I can't fix my nature. I receive your nature, your divine nature, because you promised me that. And one of the greatest verses that Pastor McLeod taught me at that time was Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified by faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still here. And he made each one of us specially. But he wants his divine nature living through each one of us individually. That's what changes the world. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's what the world needs to see, is Christ living in you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is how God wants us to live. By the promise of God's word, he says you can put off the old man and by faith put on the divine nature of Christ. So that the people in your life don't get pulled down by your life, which my life always does. My kids do not need to see me. Then they can definitely give a picture. There's the sinful nature right there, kids. You've seen it many times. But they also need to see the divine nature. And the more we learn to walk with God, the more intimate we get closer to God, the more we walk in the Spirit, the world will get to see the divine nature and his divine power that can deliver us from a lot of these things. And so I would just encourage you with those words today, that those promises that God says, and I would just encourage you that by faith, put on the new man and receive the divine nature and walk in his ways. And others will be blessed, but your life will be very much blessed. Maybe I'll just close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for these beautiful promises in your word. And you do promise us, Lord. You've promised us that we can be filled with your Spirit. We can walk in newness of life. We can have your divine nature in us. And Lord, we can't copy that. We can't fake that. We can't fix the old man, but we can just trust you. We can surrender our whole lives and just ask you and trust you to fill us with your Spirit and your divine nature. And I pray that you do such a real and powerful work in every single one of us, Lord, that we would see this reality and that those around us would see this reality. And we thank you for those who we know who you've used in our own lives and how we are drawn to you by your life in someone else. So, Lord, I just pray that you would do this great work in every single one of us in this room, and that we would truly walk saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we thank you, Lord.
We're worshiping because it's a battle that we have won, because he won. because he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. So thank you, Jeff, for that reminder. Thank you, Ben, for leading us in reminding ourselves and worshiping our great God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace, his divine nature, his divine power, and everything that you need to live a life that is pleasing to him this week. Go in peace, friends. We appreciate your help with the chairs, the washrooms, and hope to see you at 12:30. Take care. Thanks.